Welcome to yet another Halloween episode of Weird Animal Facts Explicit, where, during this spooky time of year, we look at some of the traditional animals of Halloween and find out why so many people are afraid of them. And why all that's a bunch of bullshit.
Wah, wah.
Then, for our final week, which is next week, we look at two animals who you should most definitely fear. Hi, my name is Deidre, and having worked as a zookeeper for 10 years teaching people about the importance of animals, I've learned that people can be stupid. But not you. Not you, of course not you. The fact that you're listening to this weirdly and sometimes stupid podcast tells me that you are smart. But the stupidity of human brains, as well as our overactive imagination, are what creates myths and lies about some of the most important animals on the planet. So far, we've learned about the origins of the ominous owl, the not-so-bloodthirsty frenzy-feeding teeth of the piranha, and the truly bloodthirstiness of the vampire bat.
I want to drink your blood.
But today, we look at yet another traditional Halloween animal, made spooky by Edgar Allan Poe. Then, we look at one of the weirdest, creepiest-looking animals that you have never heard of. Ravens and the Eye-Eye. Even though you are more than welcome to follow this podcast on our multiple social media platforms or even Google these animals so to get a glimpse at their true creepiness, I think, so to stay in the suspenseful Halloween spirit, I would like you to wait until after you listen to the episode to jump on over to our Facebook or Instagram, as I think it would be very fun to allow your naive superstition to get the better of you. I mean, that's what Halloween is all about. Getting scared, getting spooked, which I can't necessarily promise during today's episode, but I can promise you some stupid humor throughout this learning process.
Learning? Ugh, I want to get this shit scared out of me. Tell me something spooky.
Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary, nevermore, nevermore.
Although this may not sound too scary today, that poem was spooky as shit back in 1845. Speaking of spooky, let's get started. Raven.
You mean a crow?
No, I mean a raven.
What's the difference? It's just a black bird.
Just a black bird? Do you know how you sound right now? It's like borderline racist, but towards birds. There are tons of birds that are black. There's the raven, crow, grackle, magpie, cowbird, starling, bobolink, emu, condor, cormorant, cant, hammercock, penguins, carowong, butcher bird, timamoog, guan, cassowoo, brent geese, black swan, and I'm not talking about the movie, there really is a bird species called the black swan, nightjar, swift, cuckoo, coot, glossy ibis, palm cockatoo, and there's actually a species of bird called black bird. And these are just the birds I felt like looking up until I got too tired of it because there are even more. So yes, a raven is not just a black bird. It's so much more. Nevermore?
Alright, fine. I get that a cockatoo looks different from a raven, but ravens are just adult crows, right?
No, that's wrong. Hey there, you kids at home. Get out that bingo card as it's time to play your favorite Halloween avian-themed game. Raven or crow? If it's got John Cusack in it, it's a raven. If it's Brandon Lee, then it's a crow. Try not to get confused. As it's true, just like how both a raven and a crow are both black birds, both John Cusack and Brandon Lee are both white men. Well, kind of, as Brandon Lee is Bruce Lee's son. Anyways, let's get back to the birds! Fun fact, even though the movie is called The Crow, they used ravens. Those are ravens in the movie, not crows. Ominous fact. Brandon Lee actually died during the filming of The Crow, which only adds to both the ravens and the crows' bad reputation. But since we're talking about ravens today, let's just forget about that sad, frightening fact and get back to the game. Now that you have your bingo card ready, let's play the game. You first got to ask yourself,
how big is it?
We're talking about the birds, not your penis. If it's real big and black, then, well, it's a raven, not Terry Crews' penis. If it's not as big, then it's a crow. But how big is big? Well, a big crow is about 20 ounces. That's how much coffee your Starbucks cup of venti holds. Compared to a raven, that weighs as much as a bottle of wine. So, would you rather have coffee or wine? For today's show, we're sticking with the wine. Let's all get drunk on Terry Crews. But we're not stopping at the size alone, because even though the raven and the crow are related, and both black, you, the common Joe at home, can tell the difference. A crow kind of looks like a pussy, while a raven looks to be able to fuck you up. But hopefully, you aren't getting close enough to wildlife to piss them off. And you see this bird at night flying through the sky. But not necessarily at night, as they aren't nocturnal. And while that bird is flying through the sky, take a look at its birdie booty.
Oh, yeah.
And what do their tail feathers look like? If you say black, you're an asshole, because it's much more than that. The crow's tail looks as pussy and squared as their fluffy face. As for the booty magic of the raven, it's pointed like a wedge. Not a wedgie, but a wedge you shove under the door to keep it open. And if you happen to hear this mysterious bird's call, you need to ask yourself, does it sound like a pussy? If so, that's a crow. They go, caca. While the raven sounds like they're ready to fuck you up with their deep, echoing croak. And now, since we've gone through ravens and crows, take a look at your bingo card and tell me, which are you looking at? A raven or a crow?
It's a raven, bitch.
That's so raven. It's a bigger bird that I can see. That's so raven. A wedge-shaped booty. Yeah.
Yep, that's me.
Throughout history, ravens and crows have been confused for one another, and even used in place for one another, as the movie The Crow has shown us. That's a raven they used, not a crow, because ravens are big-ass motherfuckers.
Big-ass motherfuckers.
And if you ask me, it would make more sense for the Brandon Lee's character in The Crow to actually be a raven, simply due to their social behavior, as crows are typically seen in groups, which is more of his character before he dies. And surprisingly, though, a group of crows actually has a much cooler name. Fun fact, a group of pussy crows are called a murder. While ravens are less social, such as the character Brandon Lee portrays. Fun fact, a group of badass ravens is called an unkind, which Brandon Lee's character could very well be seen as unkind, depending on who you ask. So even though the movie is called The Crow, it should be called The Raven. I guess I need to take this up with the comic book creators. Is it too much to ask for a storyteller to portray animals correctly? Enough of the stereotypes! It's hurtful. But since we're now on the topic of comics and stories, let's take a look back at some of the original folklore of the raven. As many of us know, the Marvel comic book character in Thor, God of Thunder, is based on the Norse god. In Norse mythology, Odin, Thor's father, actually has two raven buddies. But according to their stories, Odin's ravens were used as spies and came back to whisper secrets of the world to him. And they were named after thought and memory. Perhaps that's where the idea of ravens being evil comes from, because they were sent to spy on us. And not like the cool spy of James Bond, more like what Americans thought of Russians back in the Cold War. It's a communist spy! Burn him! The reason for Odin being known as the Raven God could be due to the fact that Vikings would occasionally die, as were the people they killed, and ravens are scavengers, meaning if there's something freshly dead, they're gonna eat it. Fun fact, if you Google ravens and Vikings in the United States, you get football results. Which is fine. I mean, I like sports, but animals are way cooler. If these two teams teamed up and worked together, like their namesake, the Vikings would completely demolish the Pats and Buccaneers. Then, the Ravens would swoop in and finish off their carcasses to leave nothing behind but bones, pads, and balls. So because ravens seem to simply appear around death, they became known as the Omen of Death, which makes way more sense than an owl being called an omen of death, as owls are not scavengers. But because ravens scavenge on dead things, and since humans can be dead things, it was thought also that ravens helped spirits travel to the other side. And in a way that would help us get to the other side if you think of the other side as fertilization. As everything that goes in must come out. And that stuff coming out will help to fertilize the world around us.
It's the circle of life, thanks to Raven and Crows.
But for the Native Americans and Welsh, that's not really what they had in mind by saying ravens were the connection to the spirit world. Just like in Norse mythology, with Odin being the god representing the spirit world and watched all the world through his ravens, the Welsh and Celtics have a similar god. One that disappointed Game of Thrones fans may say sounds familiar. As my suspicion is that J.R.R. Martin might have gotten the idea for Bran based upon Welsh culture. The Welsh have a god named Bran the Blessed, and the word Bran is said to translate to raven. And in the Welsh story, Bran is able to talk to ravens, and the ravens are able to talk to him. Sound familiar yet? But then his head gets chopped off, which I think some Game of Thrones fan would be all for, besides the fact that the head can still talk to the ravens after it's been chopped off. Anyways, yet Bran never dies, which might be where the thought that after you die, you turn into a raven like in King Arthur or even Brandon Lee, since it was a raven, not a crow they used. And while the decapitated Bran was able to continue speaking to not just the ravens, but also the people, he was able to foresee the future. And I'm sure this idea was brought on by the fact that ravens, like owls, are thought to predict death, especially if they start flying around you. One day, the decapitated head of Bran the Blessed requested that his head be moved and then buried in what is now Tower Hill in London, so that whatever magic powers he and the ravens had could be used to keep Britain safe from invaders. And to take this legend further, it's thought that Tower Hill must always have 6 ravens within it, or the kingdom will fall. But the tower always seems to have 7, you know, just in case. In addition to be the foreteller of the future and the on-bringer of death, ravens are also known, in certain folklore, for the same thing as Loki, a trickster. We know ravens are associated with death only because they aren't too picky when it comes to the food that they eat. But a trickster? Think about Loki in both the Marvel Universe and the Norse mythology. Loki is the god of mischief. And if you ever truly had the opportunity to get to know any member of the Corvid family, you will know just how much of mischief they can get into. Corvidae is the family.
Kingdom, phylum, class.
Order.
Family, genus, species.
And in the family, it includes ravens, crows, magpies, rooks, jays, and a few others. And one common thing that connects this family of birds is their intelligence. Loki, for example, has proven to be very smart. If you think about kids in school, many of the smartest kids in school are troublemakers. Teachers will ask, why isn't this kid applying himself when I know he's super smart? The answer could be the very same reason why ravens and their cousins can get into trouble. They aren't being challenged. Ravens are thought to be the smartest birds in the world. Let me say that again in case you didn't understand the magnitude of that statement. Ravens are thought to be the smartest birds in the world. And their intelligence are even comparable to that of apes and dolphins. And if you listen to last year's Halloween episode about dolphins and why you should fear them, then you'll know that it has to do with their intelligence. However, though in my professional opinion, I think we should be more fearful of dolphins and apes than ravens because when a dolphin or ape fucks with you, you could die. Whereas a raven isn't going to just fuck with you unless you deserve it. Yes, both dolphins and apes have shown to be able to remember and recognize faces, but unlike that dolphin who just tackled that paddleboarder out of nowhere, ravens and crows are known to dive bomb previous dicks they have encountered in their past. And they can even pass that information on to the next generation. Listen up, kids. You see that tall, naked-faced douchebag walking around in an attempt to be as tall as the trees, yet failing exponentially? That's a dick.
Well, what about that long-haired pretty one over there?
Oh no, she's cool. It's that one. That's the dick. Let's yell at him so everyone knows just how big of a dick he really is.
You're a dick!
Dick!
You're a
dick!
Dick!
You're a
dick!
You're a big old dick!
Is revenge the ultimate sign of intelligence? What about revenge that is cooperative? Dolphins are just straight-up dicks, if you ask me, while ravens are calculated dicks. Like Loki himself, and many of the Native American tales about ravens, ravens know when to mess with someone and when they deserve to be fucked up. In Northern Northwest Coast mythology, Raven is the one who transformed the world. Raven created the land, released the people, and brought them fire and light. But in these same Pacific Northwest Native stories, Raven is also a bit of a dick. Basically, he turned into a pine needle for the Sky Chief's daughter to drink, then later, when she had a baby, it was Raven, and Raven pretended to be a baby until he found where they kept the light and brought it to the people. That's why we have sunshine! You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You are the raven, and I love you. No one will know just what you do for us. You gave us the sunshine, but we hate you! Please don't hate the ravens of the world. Without them, and I'm speaking real now, no more mythology and folklore. This is real animal facts. Without ravens, we'd have a lot more roadkill that just stayed there. Rotting, getting gross, and creating a hospitable environment for viruses and diseases that could ultimately kill you. They help clean up the world so that we don't live in any more of a dystopia than we already do. So next time you see a raven cawing at you, just know that if you weren't a dick to it, it's probably just waiting for you to keel over so that it can continue to help keep this beautiful world safe. I mean, it's probably just saying hi.
It's the transition song, from going to one topic to the next. It's the transition song, so that we have no awkward silence.
Aye, aye.
What the fuck? Alright, I did what you said earlier, and I didn't even look up an aye, aye. I mean, am I even saying it right?
Aye, 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 aye. Even if you happen to go to our Instagram at WAF Podcast to get a sneak peek at an aye-aye, you probably still may be asking, what the hell is it? It looks like something straight out of hell. In fact, Madagascar legend thinks that the aye-aye isn't that great of an animal to have around, as someone you know will die. Or you. But before we get into the legend of the aye-aye, let's figure out exactly what this thing is and looks like.
Howdy y'all, we're Mother Nature and God, and we've been renovating animals for over 1 billion years.
When trying to meet our clients' needs, we look at the ecosystem as a whole, as well as our clients' need to survive.
Welcome to Animal Renovations.
Today, we'll be helping out the aye-aye, and Mother Nature has got her work cut out for her, as the aye-aye has some very unconventional exterior design requests.
But to meet those requests, first God had to make a few modifications to our original Lima blueprint.
And by modification, you mean make it creepy.
The aye-aye never used the word creepy as a way to describe what they were wanting.
But I can read between the lines, a fluffy tail longer than its body.
That's not that creepy.
I'm just getting started. A fluffy tail longer than its body, skin stretched out for ears, wide, ready-to-suck-your-soul eyes, and long, thin fingers with an accent on the middle one. Meaning, not only did I make all the fingers long and thin like Nosferatu, but the middle finger is extra thin and extra long like that of a daddy long legs. Creepy.
But there is a reason for all that
creepiness.
Quit labeling our clients. It's unprofessional. The long tail is to help it balance as it climbs along the branches of the trees at night. And yes, the fluffy part, I might have exaggerated on it a bit, but it's cute.
And that's where the cuteness stops.
The aye-aye is practical. Being nocturnal, it needs those large eyes and ears so to better hear and see predators and their insect and fruit food in the darkness of night.
But that middle finger, that scrawny middle finger is like the legs of those humans who always skip leg day at the gym. You don't look proportionate, and it makes you look creepy to potential mates.
You're the one who designed the aye-aye.
No, I constructed it. You designed. I just followed orders. And this one was one of the weirdest ones, and it was creepy as hell. And I know about hell. Before Mother Nature and I worked together, myself and Satan had our own business. It didn't go too well. That's why we have dolphins and geese.
And the murderous personality of the cat. But as for the aye-aye's middle finger,
You know it has a good purpose.
Yeah, yeah, I know. To tap on the bark of trees to hear what the grubs are inside and where they are and to pull them out. But, ugh! You know how humans made those snake drains to yank hair out of clogs? Yo, that's what the middle finger reminds me of every time. That finger is the stuff of nightmares.
Don't complain about the humans to me. That's your fault, as is the I.I.'s mouth, which I think you did just to make it creepier.
I made those weird beaver-like teeth before I even knew your exterior plan. And you said the I.I. was going to need a way to move back the bark of trees so to get those grubs under the bark. Isn't that what the creepy finger was for?
Well, now the teeth and finger work together to get the food. But let me ask you, for a primate slash lemur, why did you think that using the teeth would be the most effective way of doing that?
In my defense, their teeth aren't actually rodent teeth.
They sure act like it since they never stop growing.
I.I.'s are primates.
Not according to your humans when they first started classifying animals. Because of your addition to their teeth, humans thought the I.I. was actually a rodent.
But what are humans good at? Learning and doing better. Now they have it classified correctly as a primate lemur. But seeing that the I.I.'s fill the same ecological niche as the woodpecker and that New Zealand just added a bat to the bird of the year voting list, it doesn't fare too well for the human's intelligence.
At least the bat was for a good cause. They knew what they were doing. I hope. As for the I.I., because of your foundation work, I can only do so much.
Well, now it's my fault? Remember, this is what the I.I. wanted. Or so you told me. I don't really speak to the clients anymore. Not since science took over.
In case Mother Nature and God weren't too helpful to you in painting the picture of what this creepy-looking primate is, then let me see if I can help. The I.I. is a mismatch of many animals. About the size of a large house cat with a fluffy tail like that of the aardvark. And I know what you're thinking. This doesn't sound that bad. A fluffy Persian cat. That sounds wonderful. Only the fur is coarse and shaggy, similar looking to the scrappy appearance of the opossum. The ears look like the human skin lampshade you'd find in a murderer's living room. Eyes that are wide and glowing like the demonic creature living in the shadowy corner of your bedroom. Teeth like a beaver, and we can't forget about those creepy-ass fingers. And, as God described, the middle one is longer and thinner than the others and gross-looking. Perhaps the I.I. looks the way it does because it was once a regular lemur who discovered electricity by shoving its middle finger into an outlet. Either way you describe the appearance of the I.I., we can all agree that its weird creepiness makes it a perfect candidate for a Halloween episode. And here are some quick animal facts about the I.I. so that you have a bit of a better understanding about its natural life. It's a lemur, you know, like Zaboomafoo. That is, if Zaboomafoo was Glinda and the I.I. was Elphaba. Something has changed within me. This primate is not the same. I'm through with others saying, I'm not a lemur, I don't want to play your game. Too late for looking cute. Too late for making sense. It's time you respect this I.I. Or I'll just come at night and feed. That's right, I'm an I.I.I.I.I.I. Look at me, I'm an I.I.I.I.I.I. And you should not be scared. And like their other lemur superfamily members, the I.I. is found on Madagascar. And superfamily is just a more detailed way of classifying animals.
Kingdom, phylum, class.
Order.
Family, genus, species.
The superfamily is one step higher than family. It is super, after all. Fun fact, lemurs are the world's oldest living primates. And the I.I. looks to be the oldest if going off appearances alone. Some people say that the I.I. is also the creepiest looking primate in the world. Then again, these people have never seen me the morning after a heavy night of drinking. Unfortunately, the I.I. can't just chug some water, pop a few painkillers, and sleep off their hungover-looking face. And the older I get, neither can I. Plus, if the I.I. was hungover, I don't think they'd have the focus and willpower to work that long, creepy middle finger like a magic wand thread through the needle precision that is needed to fish out their larvae lunch from the holes of trees. Have you ever gone to work hungover and tried to complete normal tasks like getting the daily weight of a Harris's hawk? That bird definitely watched me vomit right outside its door. But I got his weight. That's how professional I am. I should mention that I've only gone to work hungover twice in my entire zookeeping career. Don't do it. Just call it sick, especially if you work with dangerous animals. Me, I worked with small birds and chinchillas, and no one has ever died from a chinchilla. What I should have done and what you should do when you're hungover and are scheduled to work in the morning is inhabit the behavior of the II. Become a solitary nocturnal gremlin who hides away from society because if you show yourself looking like a hungover swamp witch, your melted makeup and pounding headache has created, you will be beaten to death and hung by your feet as a warning to others to get their shit together. As crazy as murdering someone for simply being, this is the case for many wild II's of Madagascar, as they are said to bring death. If an II points their creepy-ass finger at you, it's pretty much saying, "You're next!" And the thought is that you'll soon die. When an II sneaks into your house at night, it's said they will use their creepy-ass middle finger, you know, the one designed to snake out larvae from the crevices of trees, to dig out your heart. But if you happen to see this II in your home before its slender man finger pulls out your heart, then you can just leave! Because you can't live there anymore, so you have to uproot your entire family and move on gone. And move on? And move on. It was reported that an entire village was abandoned because an II was sighted. However, though, some locals say that if you see an II in the forest, nothing bad will fall upon you since it's in its natural environment. But seeing one in the realm of people, that's the bad omen. But if you ask me, the only one who should be worried about seeing an II in human-populated areas is the II itself, since the superstition of II causes many people to murder them on sight. And now the II is one of the most endangered primates on the planet. Nice going, humans. Humans are dicks. Humans are dicks. Humans are dick, 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 dicks. We're dicks! But not all humans are dicks. Like you. I mean, even if you do have one, I'm sure you're not a dick. You can't be if you're listening to this podcast. I love you. Other non-dick humans are those working at the Duke Lemur Center in North Carolina at Duke University in the United States. Fun fact, the logo for the Duke Lemur Center is an II. There'll be a link to their website in the episode description and a chance for you to donate to help them save lemurs, including the II. So if you've ever been a dick in the past, here's a way to amend that. The Duke Lemur Center is the top leading spot for lemur research and conservation, and all through non-invasive ways. No lemurs were harmed in the conducting of their research. In Madagascar, humans are taking over. Only about 10% of the original vegetation remains on the African island, meaning that lemur species, such as the silky siphica, mouse lemur, the II, and many more are at risk of becoming extinct. Over 30% of all lemur species are endangered, including the II. But where most of the Madagascar's lemur population is endangered due to habitat loss, the II not only has to deal with that, but also the fact that everyone wants to murder it thanks to old-time superstition. Just because something looks weird doesn't mean it deserves to die. Alice Cooper is still alive, and let's keep it that way. Just because something is unknown to us, or looks a little different, or looks off, doesn't mean we should fear it. Both the II and Raven deserve better. They are both very misunderstood animals and very smart. The II has the largest brain-to-body ratio of all lemur species, meaning, like all primates in zoos and under human care, they need a lot of stimulus and enrichment so to keep them from going into the same craziness we all suffered during our COVID quarantine last year. Same thing is true for ravens. These animals are problem solvers and have very important jobs to do. They are the essential workers of their ecosystem. Ravens eat all the dead stuff you don't want to see, and II's are helping the Madagascar trees to live longer by being seed dispersers and by eating all the larvae that could possibly shorten the tree's life. And in case you've forgotten, trees are kind of important, seeing that they provide us with the air we breathe. And II's are pretty much using echolocation so to locate the larvae behind the bark. They're like natural stud finders. Or guess it's the opposite of stud finders. A wimp finder. Either way you look at it, animals matter. Especially those so-called spooky, creepy animals that the enemies of Halloween want you to fear. You don't need to fear them. Just gain an understanding so that you can learn to appreciate them and see what a wonder they are. And if you would like to help save these wonderful animals, then consider donating to any one of the links you will find in the episode description. And until next time, stay weird. Wait, wait, wait! I forgot to do the scientific names.
scientific names are hard.
I was hoping we'd all just forget about this since, during my research, I happened to glance upon the II scientific name, and there's a lot of fucking letters in their name, and I don't think my poor brain is ready for it. But for those of you who enjoy my pain, I have asked my roommate Emily to write down both the Raven and II's scientific names so that I can spook you into seeing why reading as a kid is a good thing. This will be the first time I've ever read these two words out loud. Names, their names. Read these names out loud. Let us start with the common Raven. Corvus Corax. Corvus Corax. All right, Raven was not so hard. Now we will move on to the II. II. Deubentoni Madagascarensis. Okay, I guess it wasn't that bad. It's just the word Madagascar is pretty long, so my brain just saw it and was like, ah, fuck, too many words, too many letters. But you know what? I got it. Deubentoni Madagascarensis. Oh, and don't forget to tune in next week when we will have a very special Halloween edition where I will tell you about two animals that aren't traditional Halloween animals, but they are definitely two animals that you should fear. Dun, dun, dun! Stay weird.